Ladies and gentlemen, regarding the family and regarding just switch sides. Regarding the family, right here, is everything okay? Can you actually see everything? There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, regarding the family and the importance of family devotions, I'm just trying to help you. Is it hard? Yes, it's going to be harder without it. Family life is hard. That's just the way it is, okay? I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much education you have. If you're going to do family right, it's going to be hard, but good. Okay? There's nothing wrong with hard. As long as you realize the good that's going to come out of it for the glory of God. And so family devotions are essential for the Christian family, because the Christian family has an enemy, an enemy that secular people really don't have attacking them. His name is the devil and Satan. I know that may sound kind of spooky and spiritual, but it's real. So, with that said, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist living during the time of Spurgeon, said every one of our children can be brought into the ark if we pray and work earnestly for them. Are you doing that, by the way? Or have you just given up on a child or two? And you just call them a bad seed, a demonic seed, a generational curse seed, or whatever you call them. Your job is to pray for each and every one of your children until the day you die. You are to pray for all of your children, those who are with you, those who are not with you, those you had with other people before you got saved, or since you've been saved, all of your children, any seed coming out of you, everybody who's been born from, by the grace of God, from your body, you need to be praying for them by name each and every day of your life until the day you die. That's the most important thing you can do. And you need to pray for their salvation. Pray for them to change. Pray for them to confess their sins and to repent and to turn from their evil ways. So let's pray now for all families. Pray for your family. Even if the relationships are not what you would like them to be, you pray for them. And you'll be amazed at what God will do and can do. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the healing of all Christian marriages and families. We pray for the families that before the plague pandemic were talking about and going towards divorce. We pray that they would get back together. For if there ever was a time to get back together, that time is now. And Lord God in heaven, we pray. Lord, I don't know how all of this works, but we pray for those families well, Lord, let me just say it this way. Holy Father God, heal all families that name the name of Christ. And help them to understand that their healing in their marriage and family is through obedience to your holy word found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, especially along with other passages in your holy word. Therein lies the secret to their healing. Not more counseling, not more advice, not more books, not more marriage conferences and retreats. Just simple obedience by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And there is no wiggle room. There's no getting out of it. Either we do that as Christians, or the marriage will be a total flop and failure, no matter how it looks, no matter how it ends up in the sight of the world. It will never be what it should be if we don't obey Thee. And so, Lord, yes, God, help us to pray about things. Help us to pray together, but Lord, help us to obey together, and then we will stay together. For Lord, back in the 70s, when they had the famous bumper sticker, "The family that prays together stays together," sounded great, sounded good, even to my lost eyes and ears. But they left out the middle part. The family that obeys together. And without that, they can pray together all they want to. Whether they stay together or not, they will not make it if they don't obey together. And help everybody under the sound of my voice understand that very very clearly, that life as a Christian without obedience to your holy word will never work, never has worked, never will work. And filling it with what we want it to be will not work either. It's nothing but a bunch of lies. Nothing but a bunch of lies and compromise and manipulation and game playing, and if I do this, you do this, and if I do that, you do that, and so forth. That's not going to work. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you would save the souls of those families that don't make any claim to believing in you. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would forgive us of our sins of not, as Christians, of not keeping the main thing, of not obeying your holy word, the great commandment and the great commission, not staying focused on that and making sure that people are born again and saved, because that makes all of the difference. When you have a saved, truly born again husband and a lost, truly unborn again wife, that marriage is not going to work, even though she makes a profession of faith. There's going to be a slew of constant problems. The same thing vice versa. unless that Christian wife does what she is commanded to do in 1 Peter chapter 3, and vice versa. So, Lord, we do pray that you would raise up laborers into the field, including us, if you would have us, to be the shining lights and witnesses that you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reciting or reading the New Nicene Creed. If you don't have the New Nicene Creed, you can dial it up on your phone or device. Just type in the New Nicene Creed. You should see it somewhere. It's also in book form, because I wrote the book with the help of my oldest son. There's some things we added to it that needed to be added based upon the Word of God. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And if you believe that, that alone, if you're saved particularly, should change your mind and change your life. That means that God has all power in his hands. That means that like David, you can pray to that God and see things come to pass, because he has all power in his hands. Of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence of the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, Peter and John and the other disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. That's why we call this service, we're standing between the living and the dead. Memorial Prayer Devotional Evangelistic Service. And ladies and gentlemen, as part of our family verses found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, here's a lengthy passage in these two chapters that we always read. We never failed reading this passage, because God showed me a long time ago that the devil is the enemy, of any family that is striving to live for Christ, that knows Christ. Your greatest enemy is the devil. Now, the devil may use somebody in your family. You need to teach them and train them and help them to understand to not be a doorway for the devil into the family. But the devil is behind all of the cantankerousness and hatred and rebelliousness. And I thought about this. How is it that people who got married, see, that's a thing to get married, man. That's something to get married. People who got married can get to the point, and I think what triggered it, just right here in the state of Texas. Did you get this last night? Right here in the state of Texas, a couple, beautiful woman, and all men are ugly to me, but he's in jail now, I think. But beautiful wife and children. They got divorced, and he went out and rented a car and forced her in the car and took her out in the field somewhere and killed her. She couldn't have been no more than 34 years old, something like that. And so I just had a thought, how is it that people can get married? See, married, to get married, that's a huge deal. That's a huge step, man, for people to be that much in love, interested in one another, wanting to bring families together and have a big old wedding and then have children together and so on. How is it that you tell me? I'm getting ready to tell you. How is it that people can get married? Married. Go through all of that. Saying I love you and I love you and all that, got beautiful songs at the wedding. Then you're doing the little stupid switching of, you know, crossing the arms up and giving each other cake into each other's mouth and taking all the pictures and you're smiling and grinning and dancing and everything else, and she throws a little garter thing off to you and you catch us up, whatever. All of that, maidens and best men and all the groomsmen and all that, man, the preacher, the big old church, the big old wedding, all the thousands of dollars, some weddings are not even paid for. And then get to the point somewhere along the line where you hate each other so much that you want to kill each other. Where does that come from? You tell me. I'm getting ready to tell you. It comes from the devil, from hell. That's where it comes from. That's the only way you can get that get like that, man, that fast. The devil is pushing that and egging that on. There's a devil loose, man. How can it get from this over here, beautiful wedding? All of this, the families are involved, bringing two families together and everything else, and then you want to kill somebody or kill somebody and kill yourself and kill your children just yesterday. Another story similar to this, worse than this. And I can go on and on. And just as bad, get a divorce and go marry somebody else. How can it happen? How can that happen? See, we're so wicked and so evil in this day and time that we don't even contemplate thoughts like that. How is it that you can be so madly in love, you cross up your arms to give each other cake out of each other's nasty hands? Huh? What? And you're taking pictures and you're smiling and grinning and you got cake icing on your face and you stuffing the cake down people's face and all in their nose and everything else. You're so in love. so in love with each other, you drink out of each other's glasses, you eat off each other's plates. But then you get a divorce 6 years later. And now you want to do it all over again. So this is, to me, really dumb. It's dumb to God, too. God hates it, by the way. God hates this treacherousness and this divorce foolishness. Especially when they're children involved. God's going, listen to me very carefully. I know you don't cut me off. Don't get mad at me. And don't bow your head. It's not time to pray. This is stupid. And especially when it comes down to heaven, when you got children, God done bless you with children. God worked the miracle for you to bless you all with children, beautiful children. You're showing them off. They're so beautiful, so cute, everything else. And you get a divorce and you put them through hell. That's why God, see, that's one of the reasons why God hates divorce. Because he's going to get you for that. I'm telling you the truth. He's going to get you messing with those children and messing over those children. Because see, God's attitude and mentality is, now I don't bless you with these children to take care of, to enjoy. And you want to cause a problem in the marriage, and you're so selfish and so evil or so whorish and so whoremongerish that you're going to just mess the marriage up and put the children through hell because you want to have your way like a little child. This is why so many children go missing. This is why so many children, young people, die. You know why? Because God takes them. So y'all not gonna appreciate the blessing I gave you. You want to be selfish and act foolish, and you're gonna take these children through that foolishness with you and that hell with you? No, I don't think so. And God will take your child. Yes, he will. He's done it. Don't get mad at me. And it doesn't hurt God. It does not hurt God, because the child goes to God. So he has the child anyway. He's just more blessed. You're going to hurt because of your selfishness, your pride, your stubbornness, your foolishness. And that's one of the reasons why we're in this plague today. Because we have made marriage and created marriage into what we want it to be. We play these little stupid games, all engineered by the devil. That's how you get from crossing up y'all's arms and feeding each other out your nasty hands and pushing up icing into people's noses and all that, so in love, to want to kill one another. I know of one couple. They both got so angry at each other. Now, they were once in love. Had a brother, had a beautiful son, smart son. Smarter than them. They were both smart. But the child came out smarter than they were. I never heard of a child being so smart. They got to the point from the wedding, having the baby, all that, got great careers, all of that, house, cars, everything. But they got so mad at each other, ended up the husband committing adultery with a cute younger thing. But they got so angry with each other at two different points, each one of them were bootlegging the knife. I lie not to you. They wanted to kill each other at different times in the whole process. And they put the son through hell to the point that the son just said, to heck with it, he left. They don't know where the son is now. And I don't blame them. God, maybe God took him too. I don't know. You say, well, see, that's just not how it ought to be. You know, we ought to just have some social workers to come and talk to them and get some counseling, and they can make it, even though they're divorced. You know, children are very, resilient in all this foolishness, psychobabble. And most of it all in the favor of the woman, so she can get the children and make their lives twofold more the child of hell than themselves. Don't you get mad with me. They got to the point where they both was bootlegging a knife at different points. They wanted to stab, and they told each other, I wish I could stab you to death. They said it. They said it. See, buddy, and they were white people. And when white people get to that point, buddy, when white folks get to that point, somebody's in trouble. But it should never get to that point. Why does it get to that point? That's the question. Why? Because of what I'm getting ready to read in your hearing right now. See, you got four people in that marriage. Four beings. Yes, you do. It's you, your spouse. They all in the room at the same time. God. Overseeing everything, and the devil. See, and you don't want to deal with that. You don't want to see. You don't want to recognize that the devil is in the marriage, because you want to blame somebody you can see. See, the spiritual spouse will know that is not just that human being, is the devil behind them. And I'm getting ready to read it to you right now. So we read this every day for the past over 33 years of our married life. The only reason, and my wife is sitting here right here helping me in the ministry right now, 33 years. And we read this passage every day. We might have skipped over a few passages for time's sake. Verses in this whole chapter 5, chapter 6. And I emphasized certain other verses and so forth. And we read commentaries and all that. But this passage we never left out. Because I knew that the devil wanted to destroy our marriage and family. It just so happened that the devil chose my wife as the doorway to try to do so. And because God revealed it to me, I stayed on point. And I never let her make it a personal thing. Never. See, you got to have somebody in that marriage to understand, who understands this, that the devil is behind it. There's no other reason why. How can you get married? I mean, that's a huge step to marry somebody. You don't just be picking somebody off the street and marry somebody. How can you get married? Now you hate each other. Now you don't like being around each other. Now you passing like two ships in the night. You got married to have sex. And part of it is part of it. Big part of it. And now you don't even want to have sex with the person anymore. What? How can that be? It's because of the devil. He hates this institution. He hates God. He hates the three institutions he created. The family, the church, the government, and the church. And he knows that if he can knock one of these legs off, buddy, he can make the whole thing topple. And so he's been in the business of destroying Christian families. While we've had pastors out trying to build churches, their families have been destroyed by the termite of the devil. So when that's destroyed, then in the sight of the people, then their families are going to be in jeopardy. And then he goes after them. He smites the shepherd, then he goes after the sheep. And that's what we have. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. So verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in the power of his might. Yes. Not your might. Not your strength. But in the Lord. Listen to me. you're not going to stay married if you try to use your little puny strength and your little puny might. You have no strength. You have no might, man. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You're dead. How you? What? No, no. It's not by this. And this is my life's verse. I don't know why God made this my life verse. It's an obscure verse over in Zechariah somewhere. Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. My wife and I have been married now for over 33 years for one reason, and have stayed married. She's my first and only wife. And I'm from America. She's from Jamaica. Anybody who knows that combination, that doesn't work. Americans, even though we're proud and arrogant too, we don't have that Faroistic type pride like Jamaicans. See, I remember when we first got married, and you know, we were struggling. I was full time in the ministry and trying to launch a publication and stuff, and she was not really working at the time, and so money was coming in, but money was coming in slow. And so back in those days, now, you know, you had to call AT&T if you didn't have all your money together. You understand? Okay? That's when we had phones. That's when we had real phones that you dial, you know. And, you know, back in the day, you know, especially in the black community, you understood that if you didn't have all your money together, you had to call what we used to call AT, Ma Bell or whoever, whatever, and talk to them sweetly, kindly. And so I was the kind of husband who wanted and my wife to handle the things of the household. And so I said, just call them and let them know we can pay $50 today, and we can pay the rest of it, $25, you know, in a week from now or 2 weeks from now, something like that. And she got on the phone. Evidently, it was her first time doing this. She got on the phone and called the people and was very proud and arrogant and said, like she was just demanding that they do this. And I said, hold up. Hold up, you proud Jamaican. Hold up. You got to talk to them differently than that. They don't have to do it now. You're asking them. You're not telling them. And I had to take the phone from her and say, ma'am, let me help you. let me help myself. Okay, listen, we got such and such amount of money. We can pay that today or tomorrow. And if you don't mind, could you let us pay you later, pay $25 later to pay the thing off in our next check, something like that. So that was the difference. And I've seen, listen to me, The Jamaican women are good in certain areas. Loyalty, and number two, they have no problem. They don't play the game of not having sex with you because they mad at you. They don't. So, and that's the reason why I got married. So we've never had those problems. And I thank God for that. But I've seen Jamaican women eat Jamaican men up for dinner and lunch and breakfast. And they always ended in divorce. And so I'm telling you that the only way our marriage stayed together is because of prayer to God and understanding that the devil wanted to use anything he could to destroy this marriage and family and cause us not to reap the benefits and blessings and accomplishments that we have seen over the years. And to see our children raised up and complete college and move on with their lives and so forth. And that's a wonderful thing to see come to pass in one family unit. And I'm here to tell you, and that's going to probably be the case for your family as well, no matter what the makeup is. You might have a better background than we have had. But it's going to take prayer to God without ceasing, and it's going to take the Word of God, and it's going to take both parties, everybody in the family, obeying God's Word. And somebody in that marriage had better understand that this is not a personal thing. Don't try to make it personal. We don't wrestle, you're getting ready to see in a minute, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you get that? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If you don't understand that, you're going to the divorce court. You might go even further and try to kill somebody. And the devil is the one egging you on to do that. See, the devil does not care how you end that marriage. He wants that marriage ended. Especially if it's a so-called Christian marriage. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. You need the whole armor of God on you every day, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This is spiritual warfare. And see, if you're in a family like... See, when I got married, I was already full-time preaching the gospel around the world. She met me at one of my evangelistic conferences. She's the only one that has been to all 10 of them. See? And she met me at... she just made herself available, I guess, like Ruth's daughter-in-law. She got her her man that way. But she made herself available and came to some of the parts of the conference that were not that popular. And she looked so young, I didn't know she was even my age. Even a young lady approachable, because I was a grown man at the time. And so I was full time in the ministry. Man, I had been preaching for years and going at it all around the country. And so my idea of getting a wife is you are to come on board and help me do what I'm already doing, because I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing for the Lord. I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel come hell or high water. And so, and I helped her to understand that. I told her that before we got married. Now, you are here to help me do what God has called me to do, to be a helpmeet. And so, and that made the devil even matter, I believe. Because, you know, having two. And so, and she was willing to help before we got married. And I saw the devil raise his ugly head up in the marriage right from the start. And I said, well, I'll tell you what we're gonna do. We're going to pray every morning. We're going to pray every day together. Because up until then, I just had personal devotions. And we're going to read this passage right here. And I knew God showed me early on the devil's going to try to destroy your marriage and family. And he tried his best. But I stayed with this passage and I prayed with my wife. Sometimes when she didn't feel like praying, I prayed anyway with her. I'd be praying my heart out. Sometimes she'd be asleep. But that's all right. That's how we got over. Through prayer, through the Word of God, and through repeatedly reading this passage right here. And that might be what you need. Because I'm here to tell you. See, any family that's going to try to witness for the Lord and pray and preach the gospel and all that, the devil's going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. I don't care. If you just do a little bit of service to the Lord, the devil is going to fight you. He's going to fight you. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for old time's sake, in this 100th standing between the living and the dead, let's read our devotional passage. Psalm 59:8-17. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them, thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Is God your defense? Is God your defense today? That's what David believed. That's how David lived, and that's why David became great in spite of his faults. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Is God fighting for you, or are you fighting for yourself? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord against your enemies. And we all have enemies. That's just the nature of the beast. Slay them. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry shared regarding this commentary, from his commentary regarding this passage. It is our wisdom and duty in times of danger and difficulty to wait upon God. Are you waiting upon God, dear friend? In this time of the plague pandemic, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trying to forge ahead like there's no plague? There's no plague storm out there dropping hell down on the heads of our children and our elderly. You just want to forge ahead instead of wait on God. Yes, my dear friends, President Trump should have waited on God way back 3-4 months ago. Are you waiting on God? Some of you ready to sacrifice your children out in the public school or the private school or the Christian school? Because you don't want to wait on God. You want to get back to normal. There's no normal. There's no normal here. I don't know what you're talking about right now. There's no normal. It is our wisdom and duty in times of danger and difficulty to wait upon God. For he is our defense, in whom we shall be safe. The wicked can never be satisfied, which is the greatest misery in a poor condition. A contented man, if he has not what he would have, yet he does not quarrel with providence, nor fret within himself. It is not poverty, but discontent that makes a man unhappy. David would praise God because he had many times found him his refuge in the day of trouble. He that is all this to us is certainly worthy of our best affections, praises, and services. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray together for fellow believers in Christ, for the ministers in the government, for the Christian family and the family that's not believers. Let's pray for law enforcement, medical workers, and others based upon your God's holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Don't just listen to me, pray. God is watching all of us. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as your believing people to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love, and to do the first works. And Holy Father God, we pray through that for the healing of all Christian marriages and families, for the salvation of all other families that don't know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who are in government, from the president on down. We pray for salvation and spiritual and family and life and financial, material protection and provision blessings for everybody in government, government leadership around the world, from the president on down, from all governors, all U.S. senators, all U.S. Representatives, all state senators, all state representatives, all mayors, all police chiefs, and all sheriffs, and all of the peace officers, and all of the deputy sheriffs. We pray, Lord, for all premiers, prime ministers, presidents, and potentates around the world. And we pray, Lord, for your blessings to work in their lives. Help them to confess their sins. Help them to repent. And Lord, turn their hearts towards you and what you want done. You have that power to turn a king's heart, a president's heart, to do what is right for the help of the people, for the salvation of the people, and for the quietness and peace for the people. And we pray that you would intervene. We pray that you would intervene, Lord, so that this country can once again get back to its main business of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. For that is one of the reasons why you blessed America, because by your grace we exported the gospel to the four corners of the world from this place. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And Lord, thank you for what you have done. Now Lord, we pray that you'll help us in this country to repent of the sanctioning in the church and in the government and in the family, your three institutions. Help us to repent of all of our sins, our adultery, our fornication, our lying, our uncleanness, the sanctioning of homosexuality by the church, the family, and the government in this nation. And Lord, these people don't understand that we have gone too far. They don't understand that for some reason. And the preachers and the pastors and the priests have not made it clear to the government officials that this must be reversed. Otherwise, this is just the beginning of the pain upon the greatest country in the history of the world outside of your precious Israel. And so, Lord God in heaven, we pray, open the eyes, open the blinded eyes of the people, and help them to see this clearly. And Lord, we pray, starting in the church and in the family and then in the government. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And Holy Father God, we pray for the protection of Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of your persecuted Christians who are standing for your gospel and for your truth, and the whole counsel of God, and who are suffering persecution across this country even, and in China especially, and in Nigeria and other places. And Lord, I never thought we would see this in Nigeria, but we're seeing it now, and in Kenya and in the Sudan and in the Philippines and other places. Comfort your persecuted Christians. Deliver them, save them, give them grace in their trying hour and in their dying hour. And Lord, help the people around me who are praying with me right now to actually pray and not go to sleep. As you told, you asked your disciples, can you not pray with me 1 hour? Lord, help your people to pray. And Lord, because we have seen down through the years, it doesn't take everybody praying, just a few, to turn things around by your, for you to turn things around by your might and your power. You give us this great avenue of prayer. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the healing of the sick, those people who claim to be Christians. Help them to call the elders of the church, not to come over, but to just get on the iPhone and pray for them and to touch and agree. And Lord, help those who are sick, even with the coronavirus, to be honest, confess their sins, help them to be transparent. And Lord, help them to understand that you can raise them up. You have done so. But they must repent and call for the elders of the church to pray with them and for them. We also pray for the salvation of those who are lost, and we pray that you would heal them as well. And Holy Father God, continue to have mercy and show mercy in the midst of wrath, as you are so wonderfully doing, and as, Lord, you have led me to pray from the beginning. Be thorough with us. Lord, break us down. Help make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. Lord, if it takes whatever it takes, we pray that you will do whatever it takes to help us to be humble again, to pray again, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who are grieving because they have lost, some of them, multiple loved ones to the coronavirus plague. Some families have lost 6, 7, 8. Some have lost 5. Some have lost 4. Some have lost 3. Some have lost 2. And some have lost 1. And now they're sick. And so, Lord, we pray that you would comfort these people as only you can, and strengthen them as only you can. Draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus, for salvation and for comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and for comfort. We pray for some by name, but there are millions of family members and friends. We include them in this prayer. Be with them. Help them to come to know you as Savior, so that they can benefit from the comfort that only you can give. And in this 100th Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, we pray for by name. We pray for the family and friends of Florida Pastor Michael Johnson. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona Church member Betsy Dale Bryant. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona Church member Danny Bryant, another family that has lost multiple family members. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona Church member Ruby Benali Morton. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona Church member Joseph Reuben Morton, another family impacted by multiple deaths from the coronavirus plague. We pray for the family and friends of North Carolina Police Chief Rodney Allen Parham. We pray for the family and friends of Texas Church member Robert Kenneth Birdsong. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut church member Carol Ballard. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut deacon Albert Anderson. We pray for the family and friends of California prison guard Gilbert Polanco. And we pray for thousands and millions of others that you would save their souls and comfort them as only you can. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for a few prayer requests, but we have thousands. We pray, Lord, for everybody. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them, and meet their specific needs. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family life, protection and provision, blessings, financial, material blessings upon them all. And we pray only for a few here today. We pray for Laura in Worcester. Bless her as a single mother. Provide her with a nice apartment, enough money for her family, school supplies, and clothes and shoes for her kids, her children. We pray for Patricia, have Jorel, Gabriel, and Joy to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. We pray for Marie Dimsdale. Help her to continue to trust in you and lean on you. We pray for Edmund. Please save his bosses. Stir up the hearts of his family for ministry. Bring about repentance and cleansing of the church. Protect everybody from the coronavirus disease. We pray for Alina. Please deliver her from all demonic forces that paralyze her. Save her neighbor and mother. We pray that you would protect them from the coronavirus plague disease. We pray for Anoja. Please deliver him from the power of perverted thoughts and actions. We pray for Gary. Please save his wife. Help her not to be angry and help her not to believe everything people say about him. Please heal Gary of his disability, chronic pain, and memory loss. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the people who have gotten saved through the ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be, to stand strong in the faith. And we pray for all of the other people who have gotten saved through the ministry as well. Help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. As we're just praying for a few, we pray for MD, Sundara, Jeanette, Kobe, Barquette, Gajan, Tammy, and all others. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We don't give this invitation, Lord, maybe we should, but these people have written back and said they have rededicated their life. We pray for Moffitt, Tammy, Suleiman, Sylvester, Danette, Wayne, Michaela, and others. And Holy Father God, we pray for the others as well. Help them to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and we commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Usefulness or Relationship by Dr. Oswald Chambers. Luke chapter 10 verse 20 says, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus Christ is saying here, don't rejoice in your successful service for me, but rejoice because of your right relationship with me. The trap you may fall into in Christian work is to rejoice in successful service, rejoicing in the fact that God has used you. Yet you will never be able to measure fully what God will do through you if you do not have a right standing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so true. That's the main thing right there that matters. If you keep your relationship right with Him, then regardless of your circumstances or whoever you encounter each day or how the services went, He will continue to pour rivers of living water through you. And it is actually by His mercy that He does not let you know it. Amen, somebody. This is so true. See, God will use you, but God will not let you know how much He is using you. And a lot of that you will not see or hear about, if you hear about anything or see anything, until you're dead and gone and you're standing before God. Once you have the right relationship with God through salvation and sanctification, obedience to the Lord, remember that whatever your circumstances may be, you have been placed in them by God, and God uses the reaction of your life to circumstances to fulfill His purpose, as long as you continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. Our tendency today is to put the emphasis on service. Beware of the people who make their request for help on the basis of someone's usefulness. If you make usefulness the test, then Jesus Christ was the greatest failure who ever lived. And I'm sure He said that respectfully and advisedly. For the saint, direction and guidance comes from God Himself, not some measure of that saint's usefulness. It is the work that does it is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for Him. Let me repeat that in your hearing. It is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for Him. All that our Lord gives His attention to in a person's life is that person's relationship with God, something of great value to His Father. Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You so much for this time together around Your holy word, prayer, praying for others, and preaching, teaching from Your holy word, and now the preaching of the gospel. And we thank You for what You have done, and we give You the glory, the praise, and the honor. Thank You, Holy Father God, for allowing us to witness the 100th Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, and Lord, Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service. Thank You for being with us throughout the whole time. Thank You for the thousands who have participated, listened in, and live and on demand. And Lord, only You know the impact, the great impact that it has had. We thank You for the wonderful comments, the wonderful likes and shares and follows and amens and stars and hearts and all of the things that have gone up. Lord, we give You all of that as glory and praise to Your holy name. Thank You, because I would not be doing this if it were not for You. And I give You the glory, praise, and honor, and thank You for the privilege to have a small part. In Jesus Christ's name we pray now that You'll save those who don't know Your Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my dear friend, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have, for the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have fallen short. I'm just another beggar telling where the other beggars where the bread is. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave because of sin. Our soul goes to hell if we have never repented and believed in Christ. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, Jesus said, rather than having two feet, to be cast into everlasting fire. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying to you very earnestly and very seriously that hell is so bad, it is better for you to go to heaven with one hand and one foot and the other foot and hand cut off. That's how bad hell is. If that hand is leading you to sin, that foot is taking you to a sinful place, it's better for you to cut it off than to go to hell. Hell is a very serious matter. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the pain. That's how serious this matter is. And as I preached on last night, since for the first time in our lifetime, we're all under the imminent threat of death, there's no better time to get saved from hell than now, because like the rich man, Mr. Dives, as Jesus told the story, if you die unsaved, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you dilly-dally around, if you fool around and don't see how urgent this is, and don't get saved before you die, you will go to that awful place called hell to burn and to suffer forever. So hell is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Dear friend, God so loved the world. That means that no matter how you feel about yourself, God loves you. No matter how others feel about you, even if they hate you, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his only begotten Son to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose on the third day. He did that for you. he suffered. He bled, he died for your sins and for mine. He rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. That's why the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means they will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. They will go to heaven when they die. Get saved today. That's what getting saved means. Getting saved from hell. Getting saved to heaven. Take advantage of it today. It is a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't sing for it. You can't preach for it. You can't serve for it. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. So believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to come into your heart. Call on his name. Confess he is your Lord and Savior. Pray and ask him to come into your heart. Receive him into your heart today. And if you don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer, I'll be more than happy to lead you in the sinner's prayer. You make sure you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So believe in your heart. Believe in Jesus Christ in your heart. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting in my heart after people and things, thus committing adultery, dishonoring and disobeying my parents, dishonoring your name by taking your name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. I receive you into my heart. Thank you for this free gift of salvation. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to truly repent of my sins past and present, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.